Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, in these valuable moments, valuable hours, time, in these moments of our life that we are living, Allah, with His grace and with His mercy, with His fadl and with His karam, He has gathered us here so that we can do the dhikr of Allah, so that we can remember Allah. If we are not grateful to Allah, then this will be an act of ungratefulness in a big way. Because Allah has given us this ibadah, which is very big. It's a very great and big and massive ibadah in the eyes of Allah, in the sight of Allah. And there's a great ajr, a reward in this world and the hereafter for the dhikr of Allah. If Allah willed, then we could be also ghafil, just like many other people. Many excuses we could make, many excuses for not doing dhikr. But it's Allah's karam, it's Allah's mercy, who with His fadl and with His karam, His blessings and His grace and His mercy, and due to the sadaqah of His Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the great focus and attention of His darvish and wali, He has allowed us to sit here today. Now, my brothers, insan, the human being, is in the dunya and is present in the dunya in, you can say, two different ways. One is in a, for example, there are two conditions that you can see a person in the dunya. Two conditions, two factors that affect a person. Allah has given us a total appearance, a face. Allah has given us ears, a mouth and nose, and beautiful. Allah has given us the two bulbs on our face, and such beautiful bulbs that we can see everything in the world. Allah Ta'ala's makhluq that is created, the creation, the mountains and the rivers. And we can see things that are flowing and moving, small things and big things, and the stars we can see. Allah Ta'ala has given such beautiful creation, and the two beautiful bulbs of vision that Allah Ta'ala has decorated on our face, and we cannot be grateful enough for what Allah Ta'ala has given to us with regards to the sight as well. If these two bulbs were to fuse, then the whole world would fuse and blow out. The whole world would become dark for that person. Things are present, but we cannot see those things that are close to us. And beauty could be spread out around us, but we wouldn't be able to see it if we didn't have the sight and the vision. Everything in the world is moving around in a nice way, but for that poor soul who cannot see, it's nothing. And we can hear through our ears and touch, maybe, but we can't see visibly if the eyesight's not there. So there are people like this who don't have the vision, and those who have the bulbs, who have the eyes that Allah Ta'ala has given to them, and they don't appreciate the vision and visibility, that always they have light around them, visibility. And this is the light, isn't it, that we can see with our eyes. Allah has prepared in such a way the light, and the light is spread to insan, and people through everything in the world, they benefit. So tell me, how much we should be grateful for this vision that Allah gives us. Immensely grateful we should be. Allah's massive mercy on us, great mercy on us, immense mercy on us. And this is an apparent form and appearance Allah has given to us, a physical, and Allah has given us vision, and a great reward for us to be able to see. Now the story doesn't end here for the human being. Rather, the human being is ahsana makhluq. Yes, ahsan taqweem. Allah says, I have announced in the Quran that the best makhluq I have created mankind, and I have kept many, many secrets behind this creation, and a lot of wisdom behind this creation. Allah says, insan, the human being, is very valuable, extremely valuable. But we don't understand our value. We don't understand our worth. That how much worth Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and what are the feelings Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and what is hidden in the dunya, and what is apparent, and what is hidden, what is visible, what is beneficial. And those who recognize this, when a person recognizes himself, then he recognizes his Rabb at the same time. And this is a statement of somebody's, that the person who has recognized himself has recognized his Rabb, and this is the reality, this is the truth. But we don't even recognize who we are ourselves. We drown ourselves in our own, in our lost vision. And if I don't make myself clear to myself, then how will I know who is my Rabb? I should delve into myself Why do I look towards others? Look towards myself, look inside myself. That what has Allah Ta'ala put inside me? And what am I in reality? These are the words of the Sufis and the ponderers and the walis of Allah, those who've achieved ma'rifah, who those who try to recognize who they were. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. And they became great masters, great personalities. Those who looked at themselves in detail. Just like I said, there's a difference with a person who can see and who can't see. People of vision who don't have vision in the dunya. In the same way, my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the heart in the same way. Allah has made the heart in the same way. There are two types of heart, just like there are two types of insan. There are two types of heart that the insan have. One is that heart which is blind, cannot see, is not able to see anything, doesn't know what is the dunya and what's the dunya for. And the heart is not made, just like I said, the person who has eyes and doesn't have eyes. If the eyes were to fuse out and not be there, then you can't see. In the same way, those who are blind from the heart, they are nothing. They cannot see. They have no realization or no understanding. They just think what's physically around them, this is the be all and the end all. So this is the blind heart. And some are those people, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, who have enlightened their hearts, who have made their hearts full of light and nur. And when they start to see, when those hearts see, then subhanallah, when those hearts start to see, then those hearts become the azim hearts, the great hearts. The great hearts, they become azim hearts, and they see everything, they see the reality, and they become so great the hearts, that alhamdulillah, that person's vision, spiritually, physically the vision becomes weak, but they see through the vision of the heart. They start to see so clearly, more clearly than those who have eyesight. So, subhanAllah, if a person doesn't have the vision of the heart and he has a desire from Allah, brothers, that the nur of the heart should present the talab, the requirement. It's not just the light of the eyes, it's asal, the genuine light of the heart that we need to attain. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, ittaqu. اتقوا المؤمن O believer, we should fear. And what we should fear? That the mu'min, what is the mu'min? Who sees from the nuri farasat, from the vision of the heart, spiritually. He doesn't see physically from the eyesight. He sees from the vision, the visibility, the vision. And we should fear the vision of the mu'min. We should fear the vision of the mu'min. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us this, that a mu'min has these resources and energy that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Then he doesn't need vision eyesight. There was a great wali of Allah in Hindustan, in the Indian subcontinent, from the Deoband, I think, from Deoband. And he was maybe not an alim, he wasn't a scholar, and he hadn't even studied the Quran because he was blind from his eyes. Just like a person who comes to here, Hazrat Maulana Ihsan Sahib, who comes in Ramadan, and he is blind. But look at his farasat and his vision. Look at his verses and his poems and his couplets. And if we see what he's achieved, we become amazed. So he was blind and he couldn't see. But look at the vision that Allah Ta'ala gave to him through the vision of the heart, spiritually, that he could see. In Taraweeh, if somebody would make a mistake, then he would rectify the error of the reciter. If somebody made an error in the Quran, then he would explain the error made by that person. Despite that, alhamdulillah, if somebody recited a hadith or Quran in front of him and you could present it mixed, then he would put it into order. Is this Quran? Is the hadith? This is the verse of the Quran. These are hadith, sahih hadith, daif hadith, weak hadith. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. So people were amazed, surprised that what's this skill Maulana Sahib would see with such vision? What was the power behind his achievement? So he was asked one day, the Hazrat, respected Hazrat, that you tell us what is the Quran, what are the mistakes in the Quran recitation, you tell us from the scripts, the text, is this hadith, if this is sahih hadith, is this daif hadith, is this ahsan hadith, what a big difference, you haven't even studied anything, how do you tell us this? He said that this is the statement of our holy Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ittaqul mu'min. You told him that you should become a mu'min and you will also be like this. You'll also achieve this. So you need to become a mu'min to achieve this. Such a big mu'min a person becomes. That Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that be careful with this person and don't try to play games with this person because he understands everything. But these are such great people. They have understanding and they have zamir and understanding vision. The more a person has vision, the more silent he is. This is it, isn't it? This is the fact. The more a person has vision and foresight and hikmah, then he becomes silent and he doesn't look at deficiency of people. You are this, you're a thief and you did this and you did wrong and you are sinful. You committed fraud and you lied and you did all of these wrong things and you should be ashamed. They don't do like this. They don't do these actions. The people who are good, who have vision. Because the vision that Allah Ta'ala has given, spiritual vision, they don't use this to expose people and bear people. No. Rather, such a point that the farasat is given is not for here, for the dunya, rather it's for the work of the hereafter, subhanAllah. So this is the difference. Just like here in the dunya, a person passes away and he reaches to paradise, but his heart is not enlightened. And there's one person who passes away, and after passing away, he also goes into paradise. But that person, he goes with an enlightened heart, and he goes with a heart that can see. So both people who are in paradise, they will have a difference. And what he can see the first, the second will not be able to see. Because the qalb-e saleem will continue until paradise, continue. Today, the struggle and the effort that we make here, alhamdulillah, in this dunya, the effort you will make, then it won't end here, will it? Then the ajr of this will go to the hereafter. It will continue to the hereafter. So we are so foolish if we think for a moment that such a valuable life that we are wasting. We are wasting a valuable life. So, mashallah, if we have enlightened our hearts, those who, he enlightened his heart, and he knew he could recognize what was right and wrong, and he said, this is the nur, the light of amal, subhanAllah. This was the hikmah he had. Every amal has a nur. The Quran has its light, the hadith has its light, ahsan hadith has its own light, daif hadith has its own light. All of these have separate nur, unique, distinct. They all have their light. It's distinct. So Rasulullah's enlightened vision and his statements, everything he said had nur. And Allah Ta'ala's kalam and his Quran has nur. Everything is distinct. So he said, when I read all of these, when you read all of these in front of me, then I recognize the nur, that this is Quran and this is hadith. SubhanAllah. And whoever has weak vision, it was dim, he says, I can recognize that this is a daif hadith, this is a weak hadith, and this is not a sahih hadith. I can classify. I can differentiate. So he said, people said, but you also take out the errors from the recitation of the tarawih. He said, when you recite the Quran, he said, I can't physically see it, but the Quran is like in front of me, open. And whatever the mistake is made, he said, I can see that you recited wrong, and I straight away rectify your error. Allahu Akbar. Great qualities, great skills. So how is this nur attained? How? Tell me. We haven't even thought this for once. We are sat content with our life and we think we are successful. Every man can attain this nur and this vision. Everybody. If we make effort today, it's not difficult. We can get the vision. And Allah Ta'ala will put the light into the heart. This is difficult for the eyes, and we have a cataract, and there's a dullness, and he had an operation, and then they put a hole, and there's a lot of story behind this. But Allah Ta'ala said that this is nothing. These are just physical defects that can be overcome. But spiritual vision is what we need to achieve. MashaAllah, there's one doctor, he does everything. SubhanAllah, physically the cataract of the heart is taken away, the diseases of the heart are taken away. One spiritual doctor is enough to remove all the spiritual maladies. Rather, there's a statement, I think it's a hadith or a statement, as Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi, Ghawth al-Adam, and he has stated this great statement, and he spoke from hadith, Allahu alam, I cannot give the reference, but he stated rahmatullahi that the heart of the qalb, the light of the qalb is nur-e haq. SubhanAllah. He said that if you look at your heart, if you enlighten your heart, which you can do, how can you do this? Allah Ta'ala, through the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu, nur-e-haq. When you enlighten your heart with the nur, with the light, then your heart will start to see, it will have vision. Your heart will have vision, subhanAllah. What is that nur? What is that light? Let's understand that he said that if you enlighten your heart with the nur of Allah, whether you're a man or a woman or a brother or a sister, you can do this. And mashallah, you'll be able to do this. And this is the status of the walis of Allah. This is their skill. And I used to see my Hazrat, my Sheikh, my dear Sheikh, until today I'd never spoken to Hazrat about this. And when I used to go to the blessed gatherings of Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh, and very seldom would I question Hazrat Sahib or ask questions, and I was ashamed, and I had fear that I don't want to make a mistake and ask a question, then my feet will slip and then everything's gone and there was danger. I had to be cautious. So if Sheikh is unhappy, then a person's lost. He's in the wilderness, totally lost. And everything till the hereafter is gone. And subhanAllah, everything is made through the Shaykh's blessings and everything is lost through the Shaykh's blessings. So I realized this, alhamdulillah. And I was very careful and cautious with regards to this, very much so indeed. And a person cannot overcome or try to defeat the Shaykh's wisdom. Everything, ilm and amal and practice and knowledge, everything goes. I've seen this with my eyes. When a person is, you can say, without manners. Allah Ta'ala said this in the Quran in the last Jummah as I was speaking about the walis of Allah and the greatness of the awliya Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has announced in the Quran that beware the person who contends with my friend. Anyone who argues with my friend or tries to fight off my friend or has envy or malice or hatred against my friend, Allah Ta'ala says, be prepared to go against me. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned twice with regards to clash. One is those wretched people, the sin of interest, usury. Allah Ta'ala says that those who delve into usury, be prepared to fight with me. This is such a big sin. Also, Allah says, anybody who messes around with my wali, with my friend, who has malice, hatred, and evil inclinations, then he has to be prepared to clash with me. If you are friends with my friends, Allah says, then I will take you to the journey in the heavens. But you are against my friends, then I will send you to the ditch and the bottommost pit of hell. This is the consequence of having the bad relations with the walis of Allah. So, Hazrat Sahib Nur al-Marqada, rahmatullahi, my Shaykh, and mashallah, I'm not showing off his status and etc. He wasn't one to show off and make noise. Rather, something has come into my heart today that, for example, if I had something, I want to present something to Hazrat Sahib, then I wouldn't say in the majlis, in the gathering, then Hazrat, we would know that no, in the second or the third gathering, then Hazrat would remind that point that he had said before. And if you understood, then you would take from Hazrat's message. Not necessary that Hazrat would straight away repeat what he had said. No, Hazrat would mention the words and the appropriate and the right time for the benefit of the people. So once I went home and we had a tree. It was a quite a big, mashallah, we had a big home, big house, and we had buffaloes and cows and like landowners, that sort of environment. And there was a tree there, and the tree was quite big and the branches were long. And we had a khadim, a servant, and he sometimes played a game, and he would, for example, climb up onto the tree and take off the fruit. And his name was Shafi, may Allah Ta'ala give him Jannah, paradise. And from when I was a young age, he served us. He was a mulazim, the employee of the house. So I used to say to him that I'd gone from there quite a long time. I'd come back. I said, Shafi, take off the fruit from the tree. I like this a lot. And he'd say, oh, he'd go in there and he'd go to the side and he'd go and try to take the fruit. And he'd try to avoid me. He wouldn't come in my room. I said 2-3 times and he didn't listen. And sometimes, you know, people play tricks. Yes, I'll do it now. I'll just do it now. I'll do something, then I'll do this now. And I would look at the fruit on the tree. It was a nice tree. I said, I need this, maybe the honey from the tree, from the plant. So then I said to him, he didn't listen to me. Anyway, khair, my time had come to see Hazrat to go to the gathering. And I went to the gathering, to the majlis. And now tell me, this is farasat, the vision of the Shaykh. So obviously there are thoughts and desires in the heart when you reach there to the gathering, the thought and the desires there. I just told him fresh that take the fruit of the tree, and I did both when I went to Hazrat's majlis. And that point was in my mind regarding the honey, that look, he didn't take off the fruit and there was a bit of anger and a desire and something was lacking in my desire. And then Rasulullah said that beware, when you come to the gathering of the pure, then correct yourself and prepare yourself, and he will see your condition and tell you. He knows your halat, your condition, your heart, and in your clothes, in your appearance, in your heart, what's going on. And so I sat in the majlis and I left. The next day when I came back, I saw that I was on my own. Hazrat saw me, Hazrat went inside. And Hazrat brought out a big jar of honey and put it in front of me and said, Faruqi Sahib, that you like a lot of honey. So here there's a tree that has grown in our khanka, and it was there in the khanka, and Gadai Sharif in the khanka. Hazrat said, this is pure honey, I've broken off the fruit, and this is for you, the honey. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Now a murid, what will be his hal? Imagine the hal of the murid at that time. And I said, forget this, Shafi, look, you didn't give to me. It was good in it. Look how my desire has been fulfilled. Go, I don't need your honey, O Shafi. Subhanallah. So this is the farasat, the vision of the walis of Allah. And this is the hikmah of Allah. There's a reward here, great reward for an insan, for a human being. So the Ghawth al-Adham Hazrat said that Allah's nur, Allah's light, you should enlighten your heart with the nur of Allah. So now we need to think, what is the nur of Allah? Nur-e-haq. Enlighten your heart with the nur-e-haq, the light of Allah. Now, what is this? That binawar qalba with binuri haq. Enlighten your hearts with the nur of haq. So now, brothers, what is nur-e-haq? The pious elders have defined that the nur of Allah through which the heart is enlightened. That is dhikr Allah. Dhikr Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Wala dhikr Allahi akbar. I swear by Allah, it is such a great action. Those people who have made struggle on this, on the dhikr of Allah, then first effect is made on the heart from the dhikr of Allah, and the heart is enlightened then after that. Subhanallah. When the heart is enlightened, then the vision and the foresight and the basira comes in, and the person starts to see everything. He starts to see everything that is there, clear to see the reality. So there are two types who do dhikr. Two types of people. There are two types. One are those who are like us, and those who really do the dhikr of Allah. Now we want to be those who are truthfully doing dhikr in the right way. Not that so that our heart can become enlightened. This should also be the reason, but we should be the genuine dhakirin. Because this is a great reward from Allah, qalb and sirin. We need to attain this. We need to enlighten our heart. But for this, there's a condition. What is that condition? Ittaqul mu'min. That we have to become the mu'mineen, the believers. Now the mu'min, he doesn't become a mu'min through ibadah. Rather, what does he do? Here, that Allah Ta'ala, what He has told us to refrain from, we need to save ourselves from that. And what Allah Ta'ala told us to stop doing, we need to stop doing that. And that is how a person becomes a mu'min. This is the reality. So dhikr, why does dhikr not affect us? Because after doing dhikr, the biggest thing that's here is halal. To do halal, to eat halal, the halal portions, the halal pieces. Because when you eat halal, the food goes into the body, digests, and the blood is created, and the blood flows through the body, and then we do ibadah through the energy of the body. So everything, this spoils our dhikr. We make effort, we do dhikr in the night, and we do dhikr in the morning, in the day, we go to majalis gatherings, but in our food, we're not careful with regards to our earnings. So then there comes contamination into the heart. And then defects come to us. There's a cataract in the heart. Just like in the eye, there's a cataract. It blurs the vision. The same way the heart has a cataract. And a vision, a blur comes over the heart. And then we do dhikr, we enlighten the heart. Then we make sense. Then we taram. Then it blurs the heart again, contaminates the heart. So the biggest thing we have to be careful about is that insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us hukum, order. We need to live our life with regards to the order of Allah. This is the test of the human being. There's a death. And this is why our Hazrat Sahib, just like our Hazrat, he had the vision. For weeks he wouldn't get anything to eat, he would stay silent, he would sit silent. He would do sabr, he would be patient. Await Allah Ta'ala's giving. If one desire in my life is not being fulfilled, I want a big house, a big car, and I want a villa, I want to do this, I want to go on Hajj and Umrah, and I do this and that. I have desires, everyone has desires. And this is the circle of life, that we need to suppress our desires to fulfill the order of Allah if the desire is not lawful. So Allah Ta'ala says that we have all got all desires, but I should fulfill my desires when I have the means, the rightful means. Now, if I want to fulfill my desires, then I should not utilize wrong means and resources to fulfill my desires. Those people who have controlled themselves and desires and put dhikr into their lives, then those people will have enlightenment in their lives and nur and light. And this is the reality, isn't it? This is correct. So this is a big point that we need to understand. So we should try so much in this way that our hands shouldn't go towards haram. Our light, our eyes, our vision, and our hands and body should not go towards unlawful things. That we should think in this way, that Allah has given me a great reward, that I can do dhikr and enlighten my heart. Allah has given me a lamp, a light, which hundreds of thousands of people don't have. Millions of people don't have this lamp of the dhikr of Allah that can enlighten my heart. Allah has given me dhikr of the heart. Allah has given me this light and this lamp. So I should be careful. I should be cautious. So I can safeguard my heart and my nur, the nur of my iman. Otherwise, if I don't do this, I could lose all of this. Look at the rewards that Allah Ta'ala has given to me. What Allah Ta'ala can give me, promotion in this world and the hereafter. Proper promotion. Number one, I won't wake up blind in the grave. Because what will benefit me? The enlightenment, the ruhaniyat and the spirituality. For example, when a person passes away, then a person's eyes, they go within into his body and he's finished his sight. And this body and the figure and the appearance is gone. And that figure that we came with the ruh, the person goes back to the ruh. The soul, subhanAllah, Sabi asked, I can't remember his name, but what a beautiful question he put forward. A beautiful hadith. That he said, oh, Prophet of Allah, says my sahabi, a noble companion, radiallahu anhu, was asking. He asked a question. Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi has narrated this hadith. I've read this hadith and I can't give you the full reference, but this is a hadith that he has narrated. And he stated that this sahabi asked the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when a person who is a mu'min, a believer, that where does his ruh, his soul go? Subhanallah. Does it go into the grave? Does his soul, then he is accounted for, reckoning occurs, he passes. Then where does that ruh go after that? And it's stated there are two types of ruh. One is the one that passes, one is the one that fails. The ruh that passes, the ruh, the situation of that ruh, it goes to such a place that you'll be amazed and surprised. Where does it go? It's stated, it goes to Sidratul Muntaha, the highest most position. Subhanallah Akbar, and it goes and it stalls there, or stays there, waits there. Look now, little bit today, if a person controls his nafs, if we control our nafs, and if we stay away from bad and sin is sin, what Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has defined as sin, don't do this action. Then if Rasulullah has said, don't do this action, then this is a great and heavy and a hefty statement. It'll be a big loss for us. Big loss. If Rasulullah has said, don't do this action, then this is a big loss for us. It's such a big loss in the Akhirah, thereafter, that we cannot even imagine. We cannot even imagine. And we think we can take taste and enjoyment all night long. We listen to music and songs and lying and slandering and nonsense stories. And Allah, and we do all of these actions under the name of enjoyment. The angels, will they come to stop us? No. No. They won't. Because this is a big hukam that has come from the greatest of personalities, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So why will the angels come to stop us? If we don't listen to the statements of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and stop sin, then why will the angels come to us? If Allah's hukam and the order of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have come to us and we don't stop those evil and sinful actions, then do you think other forces will come to stop us from sinning? What have we left from this world? We came from soil and we will go to soil. What will we take with us? Today, if we try a little bit, that the basis of our life should become that Allah Ta'ala has told us to refrain from this, I should not do this sin. Why? Because there's wrong in this, there's wrong in this. Yes, one chocolate I eat, and in that chocolate there's gelatin. Yes, there's a haram component. If another person eats this and you see this gelatin in the chocolate, you have suppressed your desires and left that gelatin, the unlawful component, what's your loss? Yes, just for a few moments you suppress your desires and enjoyment, and he, the other person, ate the chocolate. So what's the difference between the two insan, the two human beings? Tell me this. So here, because you had fear of Allah, that no, Allah has told me not to do this. So gelatin is taste, enjoyment, and the other person's eating. He isn't passed away, he's enjoying taste, and he's fulfilling his lust and desires. But where's the gelatin on his body? But the first one said, no, this is the order of Allah, I won't consume the gelatin. So definitely there's some loss, there's some long-term loss that I will attain. And where will that loss take a person? It will not allow the heart to be enlightened and for light to come, because it was haram. It was unlawful. Am I right to what I'm saying, my friends? Yes. So now, the person is cautious. Person is cautious. And the person, he, you can say, suppresses his unlawful desires for the sake of the akhirah. So dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, enlightens the heart of a person. Because Allah's name is the Nur of Allah. The name of Allah is the Ithmi Adam. And can there be a greater Nur than this in the world? Of course, there is not a greater Nur than this. So that Nur we have, and we do dhikr 10,000, 12,000, 25,000 repetitions, we do maraqabat, alhamdulillah, this order. And then we pick it all up and throw it into the drain, because we want to fulfill our desires by using unlawful components. Is this a waste, isn't it? It's a waste. So this is a very necessary thing, my friends. Allah Ta'ala has delivered us to this position, has given us the lamp of the heart. We need to protect it. We need to take benefit. Most definitely, most definitely, most definitely, we need to see, we will see, that just like a person when he starts to stave off the sins and ward off the sins and save himself or herself from sins, then that person's emotions start to change. Physical, spiritual condition starts to change. Subhanallah. The more a person saves himself or herself from sins and exercises caution, then here, a person, Allah Ta'ala gives a lot of reward for that. There's a lot of reward to that person that you can be cautious in a lot of places. Allah Ta'ala said you can be cautious in a lot of places. It's not a case that you won't get the benefit if you're cautious. So we should be careful. Those things Allah Ta'ala has told us to leave, to save ourselves from and refrain from. We need to control ourselves. We have no need to go to a mufti for fatwa. No, just one thing that my Mawla said, don't do this, then we will not do this. I will not do this action. That's it. I cannot do this action. The dunya will go to one side. It says too hard. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has told us to refrain from this. And if I start to do this, then this moment I don't see the loss, but there is total and utter loss in this. Oh, for example, I've got a wedding and everyone else in the world, the wedding functions. You have only one son, one daughter. You're not wedding, you're conducting the wedding in the way of the people of the world. You need to do these things, etc. And then we compromise and do the wrong actions during this auspicious occasion. But we've forgotten that this action I'm about to do, that the games I'm playing, yeah, you're feeling so-called enjoyment and your desires are being fulfilled. But all of this is becoming loss upon loss upon loss, because we are committing the actions against the order of Allah, getting married and doing the wrong things. Allah's hukum is, and this is it, that do this in this way. We are doing totally the actions against what others. We can't see physical loss. No, we'll carry on doing this, and people praise us. Oh, it was a great event and function. But many things in that event and function were against Allah Ta'ala's orders. Then we will have to digest the consequences. In our homes, there are sin. In our homes, there are people, in our families, there are people who don't pray salah. Laws and orders of Allah, we shun and reject. Forget about 5%. We don't even do amal practice 1% on the orders of Allah. Not 1% amal in our lives. Allah Ta'ala has told us to refrain physically from things. Not 1% do we implement salah and prayer. We think, oh, okay, I'll pray. Allah Ta'ala has told me I must pray. We force ourselves. Even then we do this. But where come the rest of the day and the night where we go against Allah Ta'ala's order? Allah says, don't do this action. And in that, a lot of us, we earn loss in the daily actions and activities. Rather, Allah Ta'ala, then we put an allegation. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. I can do this, Allah will forgive. Allah is merciful. But such a big allegation, astaghfirullah, and slander, that I do sins. If someone says, don't do this sin, we say, oh no, leave it, Allah is ghafurim. Allah will forgive me. Such a big slander, big allegation. Allah says that you carry on sinning, and you think you're enjoying it, and you're saying Allah is ghafur rahim. Does this make sense, that we sin, we do wrong? Allah's first, this quality has ghafur. Allah says, ask for forgiveness, and I will accept your repentance. This is the meaning of ghafur. Allah says, ask for forgiveness. Recognize your sin, I am al-ghafoor. Then I will become Rahim and I will give to you. You carry on sinning and sinning and saying, I am al-ghafoor Rahim, ghafoor. What is this ghafoor Rahim? Allah says, the wrong words you have utilized with regards to my my forgiveness and my Rahim, my forgiveness. Okay? So Allah is ghafoor Rahim, alhamdulillah. Allah is ghafoor Rahim, Allah forgives. Allah Ta'ala doesn't delay in forgiving. Allah Ta'ala doesn't delay. There's no delay. Everything can be delayed. But Allah Ta'ala says that there's no delay in my forgiveness. Not at all. Not at all. There was an individual, he came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, oh, I'm finished, I've lost everything. Oh my sins have destroyed me. Oh my sins have destroyed me. This hadith, he's shrieking and screaming. Allah sallallahu said, what's the problem? He said, Ya Rasulullah, my sins. Ya Allah, where shall I go? Ya Rasulullah, what shall I do? I have so many sins, I'm destroyed, I've finished myself. I've got so many sins, more than the height of the skies. My sins. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this and said, listen, read this. Allahumma ghfirata, Allah Ta'ala forgive me. Oh Allah, my Lord, my Creator, forgive me. And why? Allah forgive my sins. Because I know that your rahmah, your mercy is greater and better than all of my sins. And I have yaqeen in this. I have certainty in this. Allahumma ghfirata, that Allah forgive me. Allah Ta'ala, your maghfirah, your mercy is greater than all of my sins. Your maghfirah, your forgiveness, I have total certainty in this, is greater than my sins and the mistakes I've made. You've said this, say it again, Rasulullah said. Allah's Nabi said to him, do this dua again. Then Rasulullah said, do it third time. Then he started a third time. Then Rasulullah said, go, you have no sins. You have no sins now. Subhanallah. So how long did it take? And how many sins he must have that are presented to Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's crying. And he couldn't say, where shall I go? Who shall I turn to? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat there and he said the statements, the dua. That Allah forgive me. I've sinned. But Allah, your mercy and your rahman and you are ghafoor, and this is greater than my sins. More powerful. So Allah Ta'ala has given us open doors, opportunity. Great opportunity with open doors. And here a question arises that we should discuss. This is a great beneficial point that's come to my mind. That look, when a person does tawbah and repents, then his hal is such, like in a machine, there's a dirty cloth or dirty clothes. Very dirty clothes are put into a machine, like a washing machine. And when you take the clothes out, then how are they? Totally clean and pure. And there's no stain left, isn't it? This is the case when a person goes to the company of a friend of Allah, Wali Allah, does tawbah, repents, he's dirty, wrapped in dirt and contamination. But when he does tawbah, he becomes a clean cloth. Clean. And this is how a person becomes pure. So what happens now? The next stage is very dangerous indeed. He is clean and pure like that cloth. But what happens now? That is the cleaner. For example, when there's dirt, there was dirt on the cloth. Then obviously the person who doesn't tawbah, who's repented, then shaitan does an action with that person. That in his mind the waswasa comes, the whispering. Oh, you used to go to this woman, this female, you did this sin and that sin, you did wrong, and you did bad to this person, you affected this person. And shaitan runs after the person and injects waswasa into the air of that person. When waswasa, he injects and he injects. And this, myself, I'm a student of this subject. I'm a talib ilm, I'm a student of this, mashallah, you are lions and you are graduates, but I'm still a student. I've seen in my life that such status and levels people reach to, and still they run away from the reality. And the waswasa, 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 the shaitan injects and injects thoughts and bad and evil inclinations and thoughts, and he drags that person away from the deen. And the person has enjoyment for sin, just like a person goes, then the tape recording goes in his mind. I went in, I did this action, and I enjoyed myself. And then the train journey starts to run in his mind. And he's done tawbah, he's repented, he sat next to the shaykh and he does dhikr, and his form and appearance has changed. But inside, the thoughts of the shaitan, they are wandering around inside, they're reminding the person. To this extent, then he starts to remember the taste, and he slips and he falls. That person goes back towards sin because of the injection and the waswasa of the shaitan. And I'll tell you a cure. This is a very dangerous condition. Very dangerous condition, and this takes a person away and back towards destruction. And I've seen this with my eyes in big maqam people. They've left their heights and the status that Allah Ta'ala gave them, and slipped to the lowest of levels, and they've gone back towards the sin. So let's listen to the cure that we have been given Islamically. When shaitan attacks a person's thoughts and mind with waswasa and whispers that you used to commit these sins before, you were sinful before, why are you repenting, why do you practice? And as a person with his age and the beard becomes white, but the shaitan takes him back to the days of youth, because shaitan is shaitan, he's cunning and masterful in his work, and he knows how to take a person back towards the sin. He knows, person says, oh, I've got a white beard and people call me daif, and the shaitan doesn't let him think that he's old, and he reminds him of his young age and the enjoyment and the taste that he used to experience through sin. This is a big sin. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us the cure for this. That to save ourselves from shaitan's whispering, there's only one way. Only one way. That you've done tawbah, you've repented, the sins have been forgiven, and the sins have been eliminated. But shaitan wants to take you back towards sin, and he drags you back. For this, you should do one thing to ward off shaitan. When these evil thoughts start come to you and you feel the taste, then do one action. Astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu alayh. That's it. That's all you have to do. Straight away start to do istighfar in abundance. And soon as the thoughts come, oh, I have used to have enjoyment in sin, he says, astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi, astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli dhanbin. When you start reciting this, then alhamdulillah, the magic or the attack of shaitan will be suppressed and eliminated. The question doesn't arise that shaitan will be able to affect you, and the question doesn't arise that you will go back to your sins. So this point came in between this point. Let's go back to the subject matter. As I was saying, my friends, that may this not happen, that our heart, that we are blind here, and we rise blind, and thereafter Allah has given us dhikr, His remembrance, to enlighten our hearts. Allah has prepared this, but now we need to try our best that we enlighten our hearts, and we save ourselves from sins. Even if it's a small sin, as it is darkness. A small sin is darkness. Even if it's a sin equivalent to a dot, it will bring adab. And where there's adab, there's darkness. Whenever the adab of Allah comes, it will come with darkness. Remember this. Not this, that the bulb is there in your heart and there's a light in the kitchen, you're making food. No, when Allah's adab comes, then the lights go out. You cannot see. You cannot be guided. Total darkness and loss. And zalzala and hurricanes and storms and typhoons, when Allah Ta'ala has destroyed nations, then total destruction and silence, an eerie silence comes after them. Total darkness is the worst of that, and in the hereafter will be the worst punishment. And those hearts who are enlightened, in the hereafter they won't even see the darkness. They won't even realize darkness. Remember this. Those whose hearts are enlightened in this world, and those hearts are enlightened in this world, they're able to see, look at the chance we got now. Then we won't have darkness in the grave, nor on the day of Hashr, nor on the day of resurrection, nor on the day of Qiyamah, nor on the bridge of Sirat. Those places, just like the eyes are seeing now, we will see in those phases thereafter, and we will pass the phases with ease. All of the fikr and the worrying concern will be eliminated. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Allahu Akbar. And Allah has given us the good news. Allah says that Rabbana atmimnana lunurana. This is nur, the light. Allah has given us guidance. From the eyes, Allah has given us more nur, greater nur, exceeding the eyes, the nur of the heart. Look at this point. So my brothers, my friends, we need to make effort. I will make effort. You should also make effort. Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to exercise caution, to be careful that the sins, we suppress them. Obviously, we get enjoyment from sin. Who's going to grab us? We can do what we want. Isn't it? Freedom of will. Who's going to question us? Isn't it? Look, you see this, don't we? The telephone, we can sit in front of the phone, the screen, after leaving it half an hour, 2 hours. Who's going to stop us physically? No one. Your wife, even the wives don't say anything to us, to each other. Everyone's looking at the screen. We do, and the wife knows what she's doing, and she's herself on the screen, on the phone. Everyone's on their screen, on their phones, it's in the pocket. And going towards the sin, everyone will be accountable for that sin. So who stops any other person today? But one thing can stop us, and what is that? Allahu Akbar, if we want to become something, we want to achieve something, if we have desire that we want to become something, Allah has given me qualities, then we need to control ourselves, our nafs. Nobody will stop us. Let me tell you this, no one. We are in such a dirty generation today that even your own, your relatives, your mother, even if she sees you sinning, she'll walk away. Though I've told him so much, I'm fed up with telling him now. He doesn't listen. I told him so many times, I'm fed up with telling him. Even the father will say this, and the father's doing the same. He's doing the same. Wife will say, I told him so much, I explained to my husband, I'm fed up with him now. That he just keeps looking at nude pictures. He comes home from work, he opens the screen, he looks at naked women, exposed women, and nude images. He keeps seeking nude images. And I'm fed up with him. I keep telling him. And the husband, he's also fed up. I watch these things, and she does the same all night long. She also looks at pictures. I go to sleep, and she's on the phone, and she's speaking to people, giving messages. Is this not the generation we're in? And today only that person can be saved. Only that person can be saved. May Allah allow, who has the sadiq heart, who has the pure sincere heart. Otherwise, who cares for anyone today? Who listens to one of them? If you give anyone nasiha today, even if a sheikh gives nasiha, then the murid, the student, goes against the sheikh. Oh, you keep on telling me, you keep on telling me, you keep on explaining to me, you keep on targeting me. Tell those other people, look at yourself. Astaghfirullah, even the peer, the poor peer, the sheikh cannot explain to the student. And only me, the foolish person, that I keep on trying to advise you, and I keep on taking the bad feedback and the swears. Otherwise, today's peer has to be careful. He says, ah, leave it, let the student know what he's doing. They don't even listen. But I'm like that, not like that. I keep on fearing people that can say bad to me, whatever, but I don't leave the side of my student. I keep on trying and assisting. They can say bad to me, whatever they want to say, but say, no, 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 no. This person's took my hand, grabbed my hand, then if I am now the assistant, then I cannot leave the assistance of my student. Keep on swearing, saying bad, but when Qiyamah comes, then the student will realize what was the assistant that was me given. The secret will be unraveled, that my sheikh, how he used to save me. And I used to say bad to my sheikh and swear at him, or be unhappy with my sheikh, or make a face or a frown. But he would keep on coming after me, leave this sin, and advise me. Don't I say this? But I don't step back. And you, mashallah, you are not less. You are, mashallah, also good, and you make effort. So this is the path, the journey, mashallah, Allah has given to us. Allah has given us a good jamaat, and Allah has given you a good sheikh, mashallah, and you are good sheikhs. And there's a good understanding we have amongst each other, isn't it? So with this in mind, I won't step back and you won't step back, but I, inshallah, will make you come towards the right path. So dhikr, we do it, but we need to control ourselves. We need to direct ourselves. Then we will succeed. Then we will succeed. So it's a big point. So we've learned this today. We will practice this, inshallah, we will. So if you make a sin, then slap yourselves that I do ibadah, I worship. Why am I speaking nonsense? And my heart feels again to go towards him. I should be ashamed. I should be ashamed. We're about to pass away. This person's died. That person's died. That person's died. I should be ashamed. Hazrat Sahib wants to be saying, am I not ashamed of what I'm doing? Yesterday, Hazrat explained. Then you go back to that sin. Are you a person with no shame? Stop this sin. Leave this action. Just say this to yourself. Allah's rahmah straight away will come. Allah's rahmah will grab on. grab you. Immediately will come. Allah Ta'ala changes the fortune of that person, takes him away from darkness and loss. Suddenly Allah Ta'ala changes the fortunes. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the capability. Ameen.